Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
Welcome back to the second hour of the show, and Brian calls in at a perfect time, because right now we're watching ESPN, the Pat McAfee show, and they're showing the play where Aaron Nesmith was ruled to be in violation with the kickball, and it appeared from all, you know, my human eyes, all accounts, that that was not a kickball. Didn't matter. You couldn't review it, and it cost the Pacers a chance to get a possession. They would have turned the Knicks over and had a chance to go take a lead. Instead, Dante DiVincenzo hits a three to kind of provide the margin of victory as the Pacers had to start fouling, and it went the Knicks' way, and the Knicks take game one of that series. Brian, let's talk about that series. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Dale. Why is that play not reviewable?
I can't. We talked about it in the first segment. I have no answer for it. I don't know why. The clock has stopped. You would think it'd be eligible to be reviewed, and you know the Pacers would have had that ball if not for the whistle being blown. I'm with you. There's no real explanation other than they didn't put it in the rules. that is not reviewable. I haven't seen anywhere where that's explained.
I know there's sometimes in certain sports where, you know, balls and strikes in baseball, okay, we hadn't got to the point where we're reviewing that yet or not. And so there's some other things, but I don't understand why everything's not reviewable in basketball. If there was a couple of weeks ago where there was a play where a guy made a steal and he tapped the ball, like, to himself right along the sideline, and the official blew the whistle and said he stepped out of bounds. And then they went back and reviewed it, and clearly he did step out of bounds, and they were able to keep the ball. And it was a big turning point in that game. I don't remember exactly who the player was, but I remember watching it, and I'm thinking, what's the difference between a ref looking at whether a guy stepped out of bounds or not and a ref looking at whether a guy kicked the ball or not?
I think the game was the Sixers, and they ruled Maxey to have stepped out of bounds, and he didn't. He stayed in bounds, and the Sixers, I think Wright might have went on a run after that. Look, I'm with you. There's no reasonable explanation why a guy stepping out of bounds, you stop the play because you think he stepped out of bounds, and yet they ask for a review and you give him the ball back. But on this one, when it's clear that what you ruled wasn't correct, you can review a foul. You can review whether someone is out of bounds or whether their foot is on the line. But this one is not something you can review. There are a couple others where you can't review as well. Particularly if they don't make the call. Some of them, if they don't make the call, you can't go back and have them adjudicate the call. I don't know. I agree. If we're going to add as many things as they've had, why not? I mean, because people always like to blame, well, it'll add more time to the game. At this point, we feel like they go to the review monitor for everything. So why not add another thing to the list? I agree, Brian. It was a clear miscall that should have been fixed, and they didn't, and they said, hey, it's not reviewable. And you watch ex-Knicks, like I think it was John Starks or something, was, nope, can't review that. Don't worry about it. So the Knicks fans knew, but that's something I'm with you, man. That's a call that could have changed the outcome of that game.
And there must be some sort of list or some sort of document that says what you can review and what you can't review. I mean, how does everybody know as soon as that happened, oh, well, you can't review that? I'm like, I don't understand what makes that a kick ball so different or so special that it can't be looked at.
I'm sure there's an explanation about it. It's not one that's going to make a lot of sense to us. And maybe someone, maybe a ref can call. I have a ref friend who texts me sometimes. Maybe he knows why. He's refed on the college and high school level. So maybe he can tell me why they don't review that. I appreciate the call, Brian. I don't know why they didn't. I'm sure it's written someplace. It won't make sense to any of us. Brian, I appreciate it. I'm right there with you on that particular call. It was a big call in the game. And like I said, I think it's more about incompetence when it comes to referees than actual out-and-out, they're cheating or they want another team to win. They're just bad at it. And the rules in some cases are bad too. I don't know if this is going to follow in our tradition of having someone do an impression of someone else, but this is Shaq. I don't know if it's a guy named Shaq or the real Shaq or one of our frequent callers pretending to be Shaq, but Shaq wants to talk about the playoffs. What's up, Shaq?
How you doing, Dylan? This is Shaq. How you doing, Shaq? He's over here, baby. How you doing?
This is what I suspected when I asked Sean what he thought this was going to be, and I said, is it just going to be someone going, hey, my name is Shaq. Shaq, I work on NBA and TNT. And Sean said, yeah, it'll probably be this guy.
Shaq, you're a fan of Miami. I was going to say about the Pat Riley situation. Do you think Butler comes back? Because it was being disrespectful to everybody. If he didn't play, shut your mouth. And what do you think about Cristina Milian doing it all the fans? And that's that free were easy.
Someone already asked a Cristina Milian question before. I think it's...
Wow, Ryan and Shaq on the same page.
Or fake Ryan and Shaq on the same page. Unlikely fake Ryan / Shaq / maybe LaRosa. That happened yesterday. Pat Riley does a State of the Union every year. He does it about a week after the year ends, or at least the season ends, excuse me. And this one happened quicker than he might have wanted. Usually his teams, at least in the Jimmy Butler era, is competing deep into the playoffs. Not the case this year. Jimmy Butler didn't play because of an injury, and that certainly sparked some thoughts from Pat Riley. If you missed it, he said that when he was asked about Jimmy Butler's contract, everything led back to availability because Jimmy Butler is eligible this offseason for a giant extension, which calls into question, do you really want to pay a 37-year-old like near $60 million? It's a tough one to answer considering all he's done for you, but it's more like a balloon payment and a golden parachute at this point. When you think about what he'll be at that age, are we really getting that value? You're just paying for past performance as opposed to current and future. But he said, hey, availability. You have to be available. And he leaned on that over and over again because a lot of Heat players miss games. He suggested that the culture was eroding, # Heat culture. And that Jimmy, when he first was there, brought the culture back. And now maybe he's part of the reason the culture is eroding. So that'll be an interesting scenario because Jimmy Butler's agents has already responded with, hey, when he was available and could play, he did play. This narrative about his unavailability is not true. There are real concerns, and those led to why he didn't play. And Riley would say those concerns weren't that valid. He should have played in more games. And the one that's going to stick out for a lot of people is, wasn't he at a tennis tournament a night before a big game? And then it turns out he was sick, and then he became unavailable for the game. He was healthy enough to participate in a night out watching tennis, but he wasn't healthy enough to play and help us in a big game. That is one that the fans couldn't stand. And I imagine maybe Jimmy Butler got sick hanging out. Maybe he wasn't sick before he decided he was going to have a night out. But those are the things that Pat Riley is probably going to focus on, among other things. So what happens, considering we know Jimmy Butler's volatility, does he really want to do it again? Does he really want to make a stop where he's felt very wanted and they've accepted and made concessions for who he is? Does he want to burn the bridge with the Heat? All the other places, like Minnesota before this turn of events, Jimmy Butler just wants to win. Minnesota's a crap place to play. They don't understand what it means to win. Philadelphia, Joel Embiid, and they pick Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris over him. And we've seen that to be a mistake. He's not going to win the PR battle if he tries to burn it all down with the Heat. They've got too much cachet, too many pelts on the wall. It's one he would probably lose. And overall, both would lose because they need him. He needs them. I think there will be a reasonable solution. But then again, it is Jimmy Butler.
He's also at the end of his, I'll just say at the end of his prime, if yes. not towards the back end of his career, where, you know, he was able to prove everyone wrong in Minnesota and Philadelphia because he was able to do what he did in 2020 and in 2022 and 2023. He was able to do that. I just don't know if, you know, if he has played his last game for Miami, is he going to be able to, see, I was right in 2025 and 2026. Like, that's
in a new place. Yeah. Where he's older and in the price tag, no matter if he signs an extension or not, it's going to be very, very high. That'll be one of the interesting scenarios as far as a big player and player movement this offseason. Daryl Morey had his presser yesterday, and some people believe that Daryl Morey's the one floating out there that the Jimmy Butler Miami Heat situation could fall apart, because if you listen to his presser yesterday, he talked about a need for a playoff wing who could make things happen. Who does that fit? Jimmy Butler. Of course, Daryl Morey maybe it was more Elton Brand. Was it Elton Brand or Daryl Morey who decided they weren't going to make that? They weren't going to give Jimmy the max.
It was Elton Brand.
Elton Brand. Daryl Morey got there afterwards, right? Yeah, he got there afterwards. Can't blame him for that. Can't blame him for other things. But the Sixers are probably going to be in. No, I'm being James Harden. But the Sixers are all in on improving that roster with a big name, and they have money to spend. So will it be Paul George if he opts out? Because the Sixers are refusing to give him the max. I mean, the Clippers are refusing to give him the max. Apparently, they've had discussions about a deal, but the max hasn't been on the table. Could Jimmy Butler get very disgruntled and ask out? Maybe the Sixers are there because they have the cap space to absorb a salary. Who knows? But Daryl Morey's making moves. Some people think he's salting the field and trying to stir discontent. Tongue Dark Chris, I see you. You got a question about something, considering your name. Can it be about sports? Feels unlikely. We'll find out when we come back.
Loaded and ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. Tongue Dark Chris calls the station quite a bit. Now, he's never called this show. And because of what this show has become, I'm not sure it's actually him. We'll find out. What's up, Tongue Dark?
Hello, Deli Belly. It is yours truly. So I have a scenario question. And out of these three actresses, okay. Sydney Sweeney, Vanessa Hudgens, Selena Gomez, which of them is more likely to go airtight? Okay, thanks. I love you.
Oh, no. Nope. Not answering that question. If you want to know what he means, just look it up. I'm not going to explain it. I'm not going to. Not this one.
I'll look it up.
There's always a line. I'll
look it up on my phone, not on the computer.
I got my laptop here. Personal computer. I believe I know what he's talking about, but I'm going to make sure, because I want to be sure I know not to talk about this. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Nice job, Tongue Darf, making your first call that. Yeah. You guys can look it up. Not going to do it, but I appreciate him chiming in on the show. I don't know anything about these women, so I can't answer that question. I don't know what they're into.
Vanessa Hudgens is pregnant, isn't she?
Has she had the child? I believe she is. I don't know if she's had the child, but yes. At last check, at least for me, she is pregnant. What that means for this, I don't know.
No, I was trying to move the conversation along.
Oh, Vanessa Hudgens.
I wasn't trying to extrapolate.
Okay, you were just trying to transition some way, somehow, asked.
What do I have on these three women?
Sydney Sweeney. Sydney Sweeney's been brought up a couple times today. She was brought up earlier on the John and Lance show. Sydney Sweeney is in she's in a movie about her being a nun and possessed and pregnant at the same time. So if you want a different vibe for Sydney Sweeney as opposed to the Euphoria, Anyone But You vibe, there it is, a horror movie featuring Sydney Sweeney. Vanessa Hudgens, pregnant at a minimum, maybe even if has had the child, not sure. And then who else did he mention? Selena Gomez?
Yes.
She's with a guy you can't stand, Benny Bianco.
Just something about him.
You don't like.
I just take one look at him.
Or Benny Blanco. Nope. I call him Bianco. Benny Blanco's. You look at him and go, not my type of guy.
I don't know.
What did you say he was? He looked like a human what? Or what did you say? You said he looked like something. I forgot what it was. Like, it wasn't human lint, was it? I don't remember what you said. Was it lint?
Dust ball,
something? I don't know. But the question that spurred this nonsensical conversation won't get answered. You guys can look it up and then figure out which one of them you think is that way. We're a sports show here. And then a pop culture show. But we're not an airtight show. Certainly we don't answer that question. Thank you to Tongue Dark Chris, I guess, for calling in. Speaking of women who are pregnant, Rudy Gobert missed. He's not pregnant. He's not a woman. But he did miss game two of the Nuggets-Wolves series, and it didn't matter. The Wolves took control of that game early and just kept batting the Nuggets away every time they thought they were going to make a run. Nuggets completely frustrated. We talked about Jamal Murray and his actions and what it might lead to as far as a suspension. But Rudy Gobert and his podcast, Shop McCants, is on it. Brandon Jennings is on it. And I believe there's one other player on it as well. Had thoughts on Rudy Gobert missing the game because his significant other was going to have a child.
I mean, miss this game for that baby. I see you.
It's a baby, bro. It's going to be there when you get back. We hope. Right. I'm just saying. The baby going to be.
Okay, but unnecessary.
The baby going to. It don't know. Whatever you about to think you about to do with the baby, he going to be asleep.
That's a lot like the theory. Why are you giving your kid an extravagant birthday party when they're a toddler? They're not going to remember any of this. But there is someone involved who is going to remember, the woman having the child. Like, what's the best excuse you can use to not show up to that event and be okay with it? Beyond the fact that maybe the woman's just fine with you not being there. That's certainly the case. That could be the case. But is playing in an NBA playoff game in the second round a good enough excuse? I'm not the woman having a kid, so I can't really answer it, but I feel like you got to be in the finals, right? What if it's an elimination game in the playoffs?
I think it also depends what kind of player you are.
But if you're a starting center?
Yeah. No, yeah, if you're a starting center.
Does it have to be an elimination game before you can say, look, this is very important, I can't miss it?
I think down 2-1 in game four, ooh, I think you have to come back.
So desperation, because you don't want to go back to Denver down 3-1.
Yeah.
Does it matter if you're down 2-1 and you're at home or down 2-1 on the road and you're going back? Like, if you're down 2-1 and you're at home and you know if you lose, you go back to Denver, is it higher up than if you were the Nuggets down 2-1, knowing even if you go down 3-1, you get to go back home?
I think it's a little bit higher up. Because if you're the lower seeded team, chances are you're worse.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have it at you can't miss a finals game.
I think it depends on the team. So on a team like the Timberwolves, like, I think this series, if they're down 2-1 going into game four, I don't know. It's a must-win game. It's a must-win game, Dell. Got to even it up.
You can't go back.
Now it's a best of three.
You can't go back to Denver down 3-1.
Come on.
And you can't miss a game. Look, everyone, if you're taking offense, clearly Sean and I are having a dumb conversation because Gilbert Arenas had a dumb conversation on his podcast.
Don't worry. I'll never be in this. Well, I probably will never be in this position.
Oh, you're at it. You're giving a little leeway to see if you actually ever play in an NBA playoff game.
1% chance.
Yeah, the 1% chance of you ever being on an NBA roster and then playing in a playoff game, being on an active NBA roster.
Crazier things have happened, Dale.
Not really. Not really. Not at this point. You're, what, 27, 28?
28. Same draft class as
You're not in the same draft class. Stop it.
I was.
No, you weren't, because you weren't eligible for the draft.
You both went one and done.
No, you are not. You graduated, right? You were not a one and done, actually. You spent all 4 years. That's why your draft stock went down. You're in college too long.
Exactly. Me and Zach Edey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're exactly the same.
I was just shorter.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's different between you two. He might be 28. We never know. We never know. We haven't seen that birth certificate. But yes, understood. The birth of a child is important. And I will just have you remember that Gilbert Arenas is just on a podcast saying dumb stuff for conversation's sake. So when you quote tweet him and go, Gilbert Arenas really needs to be quiet. I would never miss the birth of a child for anything. Don't be performative. You realize he's just doing a show, right?
It's just entertaining.
Yeah, he's just trying to make people laugh, get eyes on his show. You don't have to be performative and do your quote tweeting and say how dumb he is and take his mic away. It's as if someone wrote that line for him in a TV show. Are you going to get extremely upset about an actor saying a line? Now, sure. It's a little different. It's off the top of his head, but it's the same thought. It's for entertainment purposes only. Whether Gilbert Arenas thinks that way in real life, no one really cares. For the most part, all we really care about is what he says on that podcast. Everyone relax. Don't stop with the quote tweeting and talk about how virtuous you are. No one cares that much that you would show up to the birth of your child. A lot of people would do that.
Now, if I was the Nuggets, or if I was someone on the Nuggets.
Down 0-2?
Just down 0-1.
Okay.
You just flop the situation.
If you're Jokic. Well, not Jokic, because Rudy Gobert is important, but he's not Jokic important.
Yeah, he's like
Aaron Gordon.
I was going to give him Porter.
KCP?
Yeah.
Let's give him KCP.
KCP?
What? He's a starting shooting guard.
Disrespectful to
Rudy Gobert. Aaron Gordon, fine. Aaron Gordon.
Okay.
You have an affinity for the Frenchman. That's fine.
He's about to win his fourth defensive player of the year. I think comparing him to KCP on the fifth team.
To be fair, one's a champion, one isn't.
Okay.
And
thanks for bringing up the rings.
Yeah, I'm Shaq. We had Shaq on earlier. Did he ever win anything?
No.
All right, KCP. Aaron Gordon, fine. He's Aaron Gordon then. Should Aaron Gordon miss a game down 0-1 when you're at home?
I don't think so.
You think he has to? Well, the likelihood is his significant other is probably in the city. Travel wouldn't be part of the equation.
Because they did make it seem like part of the reason Rudy
Gobert couldn't get back.
Couldn't play, yes, because there's some sort of weather event in Minnesota, I think. So they couldn't actually leave. So he couldn't get there in time, which kind of implies that there was a possibility that he shows up anyway.
Yeah, they ruled him questionable because he was trying to get back, but yeah. It didn't work out for him.
Yeah, so, Yeah, I guess that kind of ruins the hypothetical of being the home team down 0-1.
You can get a police escort from the hospital and get to the game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good use of the city's funds and the police force.
Playoffs are important. Question is, do you induce labor so you're available for game two? Do you have that conversation?
I don't know. This is where I tap out. This is where I'm not comfortable speaking on the matters of of pregnancy. I don't know.
I asked a tough question.
I don't know what it entails. This is where I will not speak from a position of authority because I don't know what it. Well, I know what it means to.
But you don't know all that.
I don't know the complicating factors of induced labor.
I'm there with you. It's like when black people tell white people to stay out of black people business. This is me and you saying we're staying out of women business. We don't or doctor business. We don't know.
Pregnancy business. That is pregnancy business I don't know about.
I don't know anything about it. I asked a question, a tough one, to see if you respond, and you deftly danced around it. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
We got two more segments to go. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Michael Carroll joins us every Friday to discuss what you should or shouldn't be watching, and he gave a very favorable review to The Fall Guy. John McClane said it's one of the worst movies he's seen in quite a while. So we've got differing opinions. Imagine that. Michael Carroll and John McClane on opposite sides of... Wow. Now, John McClane said he loves Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. He blames the script. Says the script is bad and that made it a bad movie. So I don't know who to believe. Do I believe Michael Carroll? Is he more like my sensibilities? Or is John McClane?
Oh, I don't know. I think didn't Michael Carroll also mention in his positive review that the plot at sometimes does get a little like, what are we doing here?
Yes, I believe he did. Apparently that affected John McClane more than maybe it did Michael Carroll.
Yeah.
Maybe, and also,
maybe that's what it is.
And it's also, no one went to go watch that movie. Not to the level they needed. A box office. Not that it says Michael Carroll's wrong, because I believe reviews were positive. Oh, look at Michael Carroll.
He's wrong.
Michael Carroll disagreeing with the guest John McClane says he's wrong.
So we
have a differing of opinion.
What we strive for here at ESPN 97.5 is hearing both sides. That's all that matters. We just got to hear both sides. So point, counterpoint, Michael Carroll, John McClane.
Well, John McClane didn't directly say Michael Carroll was wrong, because he probably didn't know Michael Carroll. Let's say it's likely he didn't know Michael Carroll had an opinion on the Fall Guy. Michael Carroll, now that he knows what John McClane thinks, very strong.
Is saying he's wrong.
In his opinion that in saying he's wrong, came in from the hard work he does on a daily basis just to let us know. I don't know if John McClane is wrong or Michael Carroll is wrong. I just know the box office is all wrong for the Fall Guy. It didn't make the money it wanted to. It's going to probably underproduce or underperform. And it just speaks to how those movies kind of go. It's not IP. It has big stars. It's an action movie. Although the Fall Guy kind of is IP. It was a Lee Majors, I think, either movie or TV show back in the 70s. But it's not the IP we're used to. It's not a comic book movie. It's not a dinosaur movie. It's not a kaiju movie.
Planet of the Apes
movie. Yeah. It doesn't have that type of draw. And the domestic box office tells you that, hey, people aren't looking for those movies right now for whatever reason. Maybe it'll do well on streaming as far as people watching it and having eyes on it. But as far as making money, didn't do well. Michael Carroll doesn't provide you with movies that he says are going to make a lot of money. He just says he thinks you'll enjoy them.
That'd be a hilarious segment if he's just like, you know, this movie is going to make a ton of money.
It's going to be terrible, but it's going to make all the money.
So what do you think of it? It's going to, like, a lot of rich people are going to get a lot richer
because
of this movie. I'll tell you that.
Yes. The big studios will make all their money back because of this IP. But hey, it happens sometimes. Gosling and Blunt will be fine. I'm sure their careers won't take a downturn because of it. But hey, at least we've got a report back and a differing opinion from two people who love to go to the movies.
We'll have to watch it ourselves to see who we agree with.
Yeah. I probably won't go to a theater. I'll probably just wait.
Part of the problem.
I am. I'm definitely part of the problem. I will admit, I am part of the movie industry hates me. You rarely get me out to a movie theater. In fact, it's generally IP that'll get me there.
Yeah.
So I am.
That's how it is with most people.
I'm a big part of the problem when it comes to stuff like that. The Fall Guy, it looked cool, I guess. I like Gosling and Blunt, but it wasn't a movie that I was that interested in seeing, at least as far as going to a movie theater and going through the process of doing that. But hey, I'll watch it at home. And the Rotten Tomatoes score is at 87%, Metacritic 73%. So relatively positive reviews for The Fall Guy. Just not a movie anyone wanted to go see this weekend.
So the critics like it. Michael Carroll likes it.
Yes. Is John McClane man of the people, or is he a critic?
He might be man of the people.
He's been in the industry, too. He's been in movies.
That is true. He is a Hollywood insider.
Yeah, he's an industry guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and The Fall Guy was a series.
Industry plant, maybe?
No, not McClane. The Fall Guy was a TV show in the 80s. And so Lee Majors, they brought him back in to make a guest appearance, a cameo, I guess, in the movie. But, hey, it wasn't enough to get people to watch. Before we go, I did mention some college football stuff. And by go, I mean before we wrap up the segment. We do have one more to go. I mentioned the way too early top 25 overreactions. And we'll stick with the two teams in the state that are in the top 25. It's A&M and Texas. Texas, obviously, the team, considering that they made a playoff, with more expectations. And the overreaction, and it's just one line for the most part for most of these teams, is there's a quarterback controversy because of what Arch Manning did in the spring game and how Quinn Ewers has looked really in the spring and really overall. Quinn Ewers has been fine as a college quarterback. Not been great, not lived up to the number one ranking, and that is leading some people to believe, at least if we're going by the overreaction headline, that there's a controversy. Steve Sarkisian would tell you there's not one. I think that controversy could begin in Ann Arbor, a place that Sean doesn't want to go. Like if just, Quinn Ewers gets off to a bad start, then the controversy really begins. But one doesn't exist right now.
Personally, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, I said a place Sean doesn't want to go.
Yeah, but you made it. You know,
like what?
Like it's a bad place. I'm scared of big bad Michigan.
Oh no, it wasn't about. It wasn't about being fearful. It's just he has a distaste for Ann Arbor. Just
uninterested in the Midwest.
He has no interest in traveling up to Michigan, despite it being one of the cathedrals for college football. What does that say about Sean and his college football fandom? You be the judge. But for us...
all of a sudden I'm on trial. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, would I want to go to Notre Dame?
Would you want to go?
Yeah, I would go to Notre Dame.
So that's Midwest. That's Indiana. You like Indiana more than Michigan?
Touchdown Jesus, I think, is really what's doing the whole thing.
You want to see
if
that.
You have a mural of Jesus making a touchdown motion, I'm in.
You think when they made
it's a little bit of the Michael Jordan shrug, actually.
Yeah, it's more like what Anthony Edwards did yesterday.
I don't want to go to Ohio State.
Is that Jesus going religion? Take it or leave it.
You decide.
Yeah. I'm just here. I'm just giving you one viewpoint.
like Michael Carroll on the Fall Guy.
Yeah.
I gave my 2 cents.
I laid it out for you. No pressure.
Sermon on the Mount.
If this show hadn't really planted itself as blasphemous, it has now.
I said I want to go to.
You
want to
see Touchdown Jesus? I have no. I'm with. Well. I treat how you treat Michigan, how I treat Notre Dame that way. I got no interest in seeing Touchdown Jesus at all. No interest.
Ohio State is by far, like as far as the Midwest one, the one I least want to go to.
They will. Yeah, I feel like.
It doesn't look that appealing.
It looks dreary. The stadium isn't all that cool to look at, and it feels like they'll fight you pretty quickly. If things don't go their way and you're happy about it, they'll want to punch you. So I'm going to stay away from Columbus, Ohio.
How would you power rank those three Midwest cathedrals?
I go one of them actually is a cathedral.
One literally is a cathedral. Yeah.
I'd go Michigan, Notre Dame, and Ohio State.
Okay.
And a clear Michigan number one. I mean, probably there's a lot of it has to do with I've liked a lot of Michigan players over my history as a college football fan. I haven't really liked that many Notre Dame players or any. Just my biases take over there. And Ohio State, nah. Not a fan. I can't name an Ohio State player I actually liked when they played in college.
Really? Braxton Miller?
No, he had that uniform on. The uniform. The uniform takes over everything. That's silver helmet, jerseys.
Cardale Jones was pretty close.
No. For who, you?
Yeah.
The story is cool. Still couldn't get me there. I was rooting for Oregon in that title game. Didn't go well for me, obviously. I was a big Mariota fan. At the time, still am. Didn't live up to it, to any of the hype, and neither did the guy picked ahead of him. That draft, when it came to quarterbacks,
a lot of the pre-draft conversation, kind of a whiff.
Yeah,
because I think the consensus was like they're both good.
Yeah,
that was like the only
back-to-back Heisman winners.
Basically, the only draft where people are just like both the top two, solid, like them both. That now it's like. You know, everyone has to, I don't know about Caleb Williams. I don't know about Drake May. I don't know about
Jaden Daniels. Too thin, too skinny.
Like everyone in this year's, that's where we've gone in the last 10 drafts is now everyone just like, I don't know. These guys all stink. like before.
Don't get Merrill Hodge involved.
We were so optimistic back then.
Not anymore.
Like, I think this could work out for both of them.
It pays more to be critical of quarterbacks than what. Back then, you want to be positive. Now, if you see a flaw, let's exploit it and hammer it over and over again. And maybe you'll be right because half the time these quarterbacks don't work out. The other team in the top 25 in Texas is A&M. And the overreaction is the Aggies lost too much in the portal to win in Mike Elko's first year. A lot of that came from the most highly touted recruiting class in A&M history, the likes of Evan Stewart and Walter Nolan and LT Overton. Those are just – some of the bigger names that aren't a part of A&M anymore, NIL stuff. Not happy in College Station. Imagine that. And also a coaching change. So can A&M overcome the talent drain from those great classes? And the article goes in to talk about some of the guys Mike Elko has brought to the table to try to plug some of the holes. I just don't know if Connor Wegman's as good as people think. Now, he had injury issues, and the A&M quarterbacks who filled in for him didn't do a bad job. They kept that season afloat even after Jimbo was dismissed. But they're going to probably lean on Connor Wegman to be their starting quarterback, and I'm not sure he's the guy people think he is. I never thought he was as far as on the college ranks. Great high school player. I saw him in a spring game. I was like, this is the guy you're – now it's a spring game. I'm jumping to conclusions, obviously. But I didn't see the arm talent that people were so excited about. And injuries have short-circuited his career. He needs to avoid that if he wants to be the guy people think he can be. I don't think he's that guy even if he's healthy. That's my bigger concern with the Aggies. Do they have a legitimate big-time starting quarterback despite what the high school ranking said?
Yeah, I think the transfer portal stuff is – I think it's mostly a wash because, yes, you lost a lot of talent, but that talent was not being optimized in any way under the previous coaching regime.
Yep.
And now I think Mike Elko, even if these guys are – I mean, they're obviously not going to be as good as the greatest recruiting class of all time 2 years ago. But I think I trust Mike Elko's ability to get it all to fit better. So I don't see that as going to be a huge issue. Maybe if there's a lot of injuries and it's more of a depth question, then maybe they're running some trouble there. But I'm with you where ultimately, to me, it just comes down to Wegman being good. He's been solid when he's been out there. Or last year, he was solid when he was out there. He just couldn't stay healthy both years.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot like Quinn Ewers, actually.
One of them made the playoff. All right. Relax.
There's levels to this.
Yes.
But
and your level of hate knows no bounds.
No, it's not a hate.
It's hate. Yeah, hate. It's hating. It may not be hate.
I'm not hating.
It may not be hate, but you're hating on yours. That's your thing. You hate on yours. It's fine. We all have it.
I don't. You know what? Here we go. Quinn Ewers, the best Texas quarterback since Colt McCoy.
What a low bar.
Take that.
That's a low bar.
Clearly.
Though.
How about that? Easily the best
Texas
quarterback.
That just speaks all the whiffs. That's not a credit to Quinn Ewers. It just speaks to the awful quarterback recruiting you guys have been a part of.
David Ash, better.
Than who?
Quinn Ewers is better than David Ash.
Congratulations to Quinn Ewers then. David Ash.
Tyrone Swoops.
The guy they didn't even want to play quarterback. The guy they didn't even want to play quarterback most of the time.
I'll take Quinn Ewers over him.
Yeah, great.
Any day of the week.
Great. The guy they rather move to like H-back.
Gerard Hurd.
Another one who they didn't want to play quarterback when it came down to it.
Huh. Weird. Those two guys didn't want to play quarterback.
Quinn Ewers. If you're out there listening, or anyone who backs Quinn Ewers, this is just a backhanded compliment. You guys know how
better Texas than Sam Ellinger. He's better than Sam Ellinger.
No.
That's where it's actually a little controversial. I don't think it's that controversial.
I don't think it is either. But people love Sam Ellinger.
Yeah. He's what the culture's feeling.
No, he's not.
Well, the UT football fan culture.
Well, they better feel something else. we got one more segment to go. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Astros back in action tonight. Justin Verlander on the mound in Yankee Stadium. And that would have meant something before the year. Now it's just, hey, can you please make it not a miserable night for us? Can we find a way to go win a game? Look, before the year started, when the Yankees came to town, I was like, whatever, the Yankees, we own them. We still do, but how the tables have turned. Yankees off to a good start. The Astros off to one of their worst starts in recent memory. Games on TBS. Does that mean it's blacked out here, or is TBS blacked out? I forgot how that works. I think TBS is blacked out. So the local broadcast, I think, still has it. So if you want to hear Todd Callis yell at you about jumping off the bandwagon, I think you'll be able to
do that during the game.
He won't?
I don't think he will. He won't yell at you about it.
No, he didn't yell at
you. You said yell, though.
Yeah, I use yell just to say when he scolds people.
Scolding. It was a stern talking to.
It was a stern talking to who gave the fans. If you listen to him on his appearance with the Killer Bees, he pretty much told you guys not to be fans later when this gets turned around.
Keep that same energy.
Of course, he said that before the Astros lost 2 out of 3 to the Mariners. But he did feel like Fangraphs told him that the Astros were still in the race.
Yeah. He said, keep that same energy.
Yeah.
No cap. Well, that's what he said.
Tuckhouse is never going to say no cap.
He's definitely said no cap.
To who? To Jeff Blum? On a broadcast?
Yeah, well, he said, like, oh, Chaz McCormick just ran out there with no cap.
And you were
now he's going back to the dugout and to you're put a cap on.
And you took issue with my alleged Wolves puns from earlier, and this is what you're bringing to the show? Look, you've got 3 more hours. I hope you haven't run out of juice already.
Oh, no.
No.
I got plenty.
Plenty to spare.
Plenty in reserve.
Yeah, plenty to spare. So Sean Mace will be the producer. If you don't know, you should. He's the producer for Gaunt and George, which is up next, and then followed by the Killer Bees. As they'll get you ready for the Astros. In fact, the Killer Bees will be going off there as that game begins. So we got to hope that at least let's leave Yankee Stadium with something. Maybe the season's one that's not going well, but I got to leave New York with something. Let's beat the Yankees a couple times.
I'm leaving with something.
Yeah, exactly. Let's leave with something. And that something is a series win over the Yankees.
Series win.
A win.
How about a series moral victory against the
I don't want a moral victory. I want a series win. Leaving there with something would suggest maybe you win a game and not get swept. But I want a series win.
So definitely no sweep.
Definitely no sweep.
Yeah, a series win. They have to win the series.
Yeah, no a series win, no blown saves.
Maybe if they had actually won on Sunday, like literally didn't do exactly what we're talking about, blow a save to lose a series, not just a game, to lose like the rubber match of a series. Yeah. If they were coming in 2-1, like after being 2-1 against the Mariners, then I feel like you're like, well, you know, Yankees, we already won a series, so the desperation isn't quite there. Nope, desperation back on. Win a series.
Win a series.
Hey, Joe Espada, win a series.
Hey, go get you. Go bring me back something, Astros. Yeah.
Hey, Justin Verlander, Spencer Arrighetti. Is it Ronel Blanco next?
No.
Oh, who? What's the?
I'll find out.
I know it's Verlander.
Yes, Verlander tonight against Gill. I gotta go. Let me find it here. It is Arrighetti. Yes, Blanco. You're right, Ronel Blanco. So you got a real shot to win 2 out of 3. I mean, I don't feel great about it.
Got a good chance to sweep. Those are the three. No, okay.
Fromber exists. Fromber still exists.
Okay. You know what? Actually, what I'm thinking, it's not Hunter Round.
Yes.
that's really what I'm thinking is they have a chance to win all these games.
You don't go into the game thinking, okay, that's a sure loss because we're going to be down 3-0 in the first inning because Hunter Brown's out there.
And hey, they got pretty close the last 100 rounds. They won the last 100 rounds or 200 round starts ago, and they almost won the next one. So.
That's true. No real thanks to him, but sure. Look, we know the standard for Hunter Brown. Keep us in the game, even if it's like
please.
Just get if you want to give up 3, just make sure it's over 4. Like, don't give up 3 and can't finish an inning. Give up the first inning. Give up 3 if it's in the first. That's awful, but it's better than giving up 3 and only getting a couple outs.
Get through the lineup one time.
That is what we're asking for.
Before you implode.
Yes, before Espada says no more, because there's no way we can win this game if we let you take another return through the lineup. So what a positive discussion. The Astros tonight.
Leave with something. Leave New York with something.
We don't even have him pitching, and we still got to him. He's not even pitching in this series. Verlander tonight. That is this show's take on this series. Leave New York with something. And we can determine what that something is after the series is over. We're hoping for 2 out of 3, but maybe it's just a win. We can't ask for much. Just don't embarrass us out there, Astros. The city of New York is having too much fun when it comes to sports. Let's maybe end some of that starting tonight. I'm done for the day. Gallant and George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King. Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.